Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Pity our poor Heavenly Father. Picture this. He, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are sitting in heaven before there is a universe. They are discussing creation. Planning is in its early stages, and they come up with an idea. What if we design a being who can have some choice in existence? What if we give this being free will? There is the problem that if free will is indeed free, what happens when this creation makes a mistake, a big time mistake? Should the creation be rescued? I think you can see where their discussion is going. God does create the universe, and God creates mankind, the only creation with free will. There is rebellion in creation. A creation with no free will decides to usurp God's very place in God's own universe. We call it the mystery of iniquity because we frankly don't understand how a being, in this case Lucifer, a being with no free will, can rebel. Especially do we not understand when that creation leads our first parents, Adam and Eve, into rebellion against God. Adam and Eve did decide to rebel against God. But they had free will to do that. Satan did not. Well, flash back to that council table in heaven before the foundation of the world. the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, decide to make a free will creation. Moreover, they anticipate that their creation will fall into sin and be alienated from God. They need a rescue plan for mankind. Recognize the fall into sin and the redemption of mankind here. The whole plan of salvation is crafted in heaven before there is a heaven and an earth as we know it. Mankind can be saved from eternal separation from God because mankind has free will. Satan and his angels will ultimately reside in hell because they do not have free will. No free will, no salvation. So, mankind enters the Garden of Eden, maybe 6,000 years ago, something like that. Satan brings sin into the world through that temptation. We simplify man's rebellion by talking about Eve and the apple, but we know what happened. Mankind, by its own decision, loses Eden and earns death, because the wages of death is of sin is death, and both Adam and Eve have earned death. So there are children. You can read the book of Genesis. The world goes from bad to worse, and God ultimately cleanses the world through a great flood. The only mankind to survive come through the family of a man named Noah. Yes, Noah and the ark is the story. By 4,000 years ago, the flood is past, the world is repopulating, and the great men of the ark in the past are dying off. Mankind still can't seem to get things right. Free will is hard to change, but God places his hand on the heart of a man called Abraham, and Abraham becomes the friend of God. God has been working his plan of salvation. Remember, that plan was formulated back before creation was made. We learn in the book of Genesis that God plans to save mankind through this very man, Abraham's family. And God explains that very fact to Abraham. Well, Abraham does generate a family line, and they end up in Egypt. About 3,400 years ago, God takes that family line and brings it out of Egypt into Palestine, and by 2,800 years ago, that family becomes the nation of ancient Israel. A little perspective here. God designs the universe at some time before history. Mankind receives a special gift at creation, free will. Adam and Eve blow it in the Garden of Eden and lose their special relationship with God. God promises that there is hope because mankind will be saved from sin by one of its own. Adam and Eve and their offspring populate the earth, but they blow it so bad with that free will of theirs that God destroys almost the whole thing, except for Noah. Noah survives along with his family. Salvation will have to come through that line. Well, Abraham is a few generations down the pike, and the plan of salvation will come from his family, and ultimately through the second king coming from that family, the man called David. You know the story of David, heart for God, but a head for free will. He is into sin, just like every other human being. The Jewish people split into two nations, the northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom is defeated by the Assyrians and dismantled. Within another 100 years or so, the Babylonians come in and take the people of the southern kingdom, the people of Judah, off to Babylon. The people of Israel, the ones which were supposed to be God's answer for sin, they're all gone. All hope is gone. Here comes Isaiah the prophet. He saw the end of the southern kingdom drawing near. He saw the sin of the people. But God also opened his eyes to the work of salvation. All is not lost. We're talking 600, 700 years before the first Christmas here. Here's what God gives the prophet Isaiah for his message. Remember, the Jewish people are exiled, not even in their own country. So Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. You see, it's not the end for God's people. God's glory will come from the Jewish people. It looks so dark, but God's glory is revealed. God's light will be like the flame to a moth. The peoples of the world will be drawn to God's light in Israel. The world will come to God's people, drawn by the very light of God. The light is Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, the son of Mary, but also the Son of God. Yes, the first Gentiles to recognize God's Son will be the Magi, bringing their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But they will be the first of many to proclaim the praises of God's salvation for mankind, coming through the babe of Bethlehem, the same babe who will die as a man on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world, the wrongful choice of free will back in the Garden of Eden. Isaiah, God's prophet, proclaims the answer to sin, death, and the devil for all mankind. Behold, he says, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. God's plan for the salvation of the world will be carried out, and mankind will again have a close relationship, a close fellowship with God himself. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.